listening, friend. It's Monday. It's June 18th, 2012, and you're in for a real treat with my special guest today, John Fuller, co-host with Jim Daly of the Monday through Friday edition of Focus on the Family. So stay with me, and before I formally introduce John, here's a few verses out of Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And as we think about some of the things God has made, like fathers, we're so appreciative of all the dads in our radio listening family. And again, we say happy Father's Day. And hopefully yesterday you were treated with great royalty, pomp and circumstance, and you were loved on. We appreciate you, dads. Well, one dad that I've gotten to know over the years, especially during some of the National Religious Broadcasters conventions, is John Fuller. So allow me the privilege of introducing you to him as he's today's special guest on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. John Fuller is Vice President of Focus on the Family's Audio and New Media Division, leading the team that creates and produces more than a dozen different audio programs. These features are syndicated on thousands of radio affiliates worldwide, and many are available online at focusonthefamily.com. Since 2001, John has been the co-host of the daily Focus on the Family radio program, joining Jim Daly and Dr. Julie Slattery in the studio for the broadcast, which reaches millions of global listeners each week. John has spoken about a variety of family topics, including the power of praying families, being intentional in your parenting, and how to help children develop a faith of their own. John also speaks about business matters, such as business of relationships, excellence in communication, and the value of every employee. John's broadcasting career began in 1980 at a college radio station in Wisconsin. In subsequent years, he was involved in the startup of two Christian stations in Tyler, Texas. John has his MA in Human Communication from the University of Northern Colorado and a BA in Journalism from the University of Texas at Tyler. He also studied at the Dallas Theological Seminary. John joined Focus on the Family in 1991. Married since 1984 to Dina. Yay, Dina. John is the father of six children. They enjoy a variety of family activities such as camping, visits to local playgrounds, and volunteering at their church. John also serves on the board of the National Religious Broadcasters. Well, John, in light of just reading your bio and sharing it with our radio listeners, and so many are familiar with your voice from Focus on the Family and your many years, your 20-plus years serving there, I count it a privilege to have you on, carving out some time for our listeners to share what God's doing in your life and what keeps you going. I mean, you have dozens of radio responsibilities, daily interviews, busy schedule, work pressures, deadlines, etc. You just wrote this new book that, thank you, God, I got to read it the last few days. First Time Dads, The Stuff You Really Need to Know. I thoroughly enjoyed it, have been blessed by it, and we're going to talk about that some today. But what keeps you going? What keeps you kind of grounded, focused in the center of God's will?
Well, I got to say, Mark, that His grace is what I cling to every day. I mean, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I know that anything good that happens in my life is His doing, not mine. I bring nothing to the equation. And so I try to be a faithful servant and steward and put a foot in front of the other. And I get the incredibly rich privilege of working with the ministry. And you know this because you're in radio ministry, too, that you hear from people. And, you know, in the work world, just hearing from people who benefited from what you do is incredible. And we're very fortunate to be told every day that somebody was listening on the radio or online or on their phone and something grabbed them and made a difference. It might have been a small difference. It might have been life-changing. But knowing that I'm a tool in the hands of the carpenter is a really cool thing, and that's really what keeps me going.
You know, I may plagiarize some of what you just said in a sense, because I try to put into words some of the things like people say, Mark, you're so driven, you work so many hours, what keeps you going? And it's that very thing. It's like our listeners know, I love getting the mail. Each and every day I read their responses, their prayer requests, and it energizes me. I just feel like God's wired me to be a vehicle that can be an encouragement. And I think my spiritual gift is exhortation. So I love seeing people grow. And this radio ministry, Focus on the Family, and the other programming hosts equip our listeners to grow closer to God each and every day. And so I can do it wholeheartedly, with passion, with energy. It just kind of comes natural, but I think I kind of feed on knowing that they're going to be blessed and they're going to grow. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited to have you on today. As I have said, I've seen you at various National Religious Broadcasters conventions over the year, and I've heard you on the air, and I've benefited by your teaching and even by your book, First Time Dads. Now, I'm not a dad. I don't know if that's ever going to happen to me. I'm 52 now, but I love
it. Never too late, Mark. Never too late.
I really loved it. I benefited from it, and I want to share our listeners. I'll share it now, and then we can talk about it. But not only do I feel it was well-written and helpful, it's heartwarming, it's interesting. You have great illustrations, many practical advice listings, kind of some of the nuts and bolts, the how-to. I love your transparency throughout the book, just how you share some of your own struggles, your expectations, things that you learned, and just your passion and desire to have this book used as a resource for dads and for families. So we're going to talk about First Time Dad, the stuff you really need to know. But before we get there, I would like you to share some of your own faith journey, some of the ways you've seen God draw you closer to Himself over the years, from childhood up to the point where these last 20 or so years you've been serving at Focus on the Family.
Well, it would take a while if we dwelt too long on any one of those areas. Thank you, by the way, for your kind comments on the book. It sounds like we hit the mark on that one. I think just if I were doing a quick spiritual snapshot, I would say that in high school, I met some kids who had something that I realized over a few months' period of time I didn't have, and I wanted it. And it was life in Christ. It was a relationship with God through Christ. And so when I was a junior in high school, I prayed and I asked God to take over. I accepted the gift of salvation He offers in Christ. And ever since then, it has just been a long, slow, steady progression in understanding Him, in grabbing onto Him more deeply, and growing in the Lord. And there have been plenty of highs, a few lows, but I haven't never taken a break to really work on my testimony, if you know what I mean. It's I haven't had any wild rampages where I just left the faith. No, the Lord's been very, very kind in just holding me close. And certainly getting involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship during my college years was very formative. Plugging into a good church after college, I moved to Texas and worked with a little missions agency, a lot of really mature believers there, and they helped ground me further. And then got involved in Christian radio, where we looked at radio and said it's a great tool for the gospel, and how do we use it in such a way? So there was a real ministry mindset that I learned to know and love. Meeting my wife certainly was a huge deal. I mean, that's a life-altering relationship, and then of course having kids, and then moving to Focus in the process of that. But there are a lot of good highlights, and as I said, plenty of challenges, and the Lord has sustained me through those. But He's been faithful through it all.
I like how you share that it's been a long, kind of steady progression, that sanctification process, because so many times, especially maybe the unchurched person or the unbeliever or the non-Christian that's tuning in, scanning the dial, as you know, maybe sometimes as many as a third of the listeners can be somebody that's maybe not entertained the idea that God loves them or has a plan and purpose for their life. But coming to Christ, or just that initial accepting Jesus into your heart, doesn't mean everything instantly works out and your life is carefree. There is those challenges, those hurdles, those stumbles, those points maybe 2 steps forward, 3 steps back, or 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. And you've obviously seen that in your own life, where the Lord continues to prove faithful as you just draw close to Him.
Well, Well, yes, yeah, and of course, as somebody has said, it's during those tough times that you really grow, not necessarily when things are easy. And for us, some of those tough times have included a miscarriage and then another one a few years later. Those were very difficult times for us, the sense of loss that we had with those children who had not yet been born, passing away in the womb. We have had communication struggles. There have been health challenges along the way, you know, some relationship issues from external sources. We've had some trying times with the kids, and if your listeners follow the Daily Focus broadcast with any regularity, they might have heard me refer to our youngest, Zane, who is a delightful child, but a handful because he has autism. He is a constant reminder of my weakness and God's strength in me when I just don't have it. So each one of those things I just noted real quickly, each one of those seasons was difficult, and you kind of just sleepwalk through some of them sometimes because there's nothing left in the tanks. But God has always been faithful. He's always been gracious. He's always been the sustainer, and he's kept my eyes firmly fixed on him during those moments, which I think is a real gift from him.
Well, I appreciate so much of your life story does come out in your book, First Time Dad, The Stuff You Really Need to Know Him. And as I was reading it and enjoying it and connecting with some of your illustrations and your examples, I thought, I really like this John Fuller. I mean, I appreciate his ministry input over the air during the interviews and how he transitions some of the topics and is engaged in whatever the topic that is being shared over the air. But getting a glimpse into how you want to lead your children and how you've been engaged and involved in their lives and all the various recommendations. And yet I saw this not only as helpful for a first-time dad, but as I looked at some of the principles and some of the things you laid out and some of the lists, I thought, you know, this is going to help me be a better friend to people I know. This is going to help me in my own process of clinging to God and relying on Him. And so I appreciate this book, First Time Dad, for a number of reasons and, you know, not knowing the future, but I just thought, hey, this is good for not only dads, but I think for the general public, because even if you mentor a child or you're helpful, you babysit or you're helping another family. I had lunch this past Sunday with a dear couple, and I just marveled at how they were raising their three kids. And I thought, wow, I wish I would have read this book a couple weeks earlier because it might have helped me engaged in some of the conversations with these kids and be a better listener.
I had never thought of the content being useful to that broad of a segment of our listenership, but I appreciate that, Mark. You know, certainly one of the things I tried to do was apply some hard-earned wisdom to the role of being a dad, and I can kind of see what you're talking about. If you do work with kids, it's important to know how each child is wired uniquely and how you can best show them affirmation and love. And certainly my short chapter on spiritual formation talks about some of the things that parents need to know. And to that end, anybody working in Sunday school might want to appreciate reading. So thanks for that. That's a good perspective from your part.
Well, there's a bunch that I want to talk about, and we'll transition into that. I don't know. Who knows? I might even pull what I say sometimes on the air, James Dobson, where I'm going to keep you on the line, and we're going to keep our conversation going, because I really highly want to recommend this First Time Dad for our listeners to pick up, and in light of Father's Day just being this past Sunday. This is a book that's not just for Father's Day. It can be given to men of all ages, men that even have children that maybe need a refresher on some of the things they can maybe do more effectively with their family. But it's a great book, First Time Dad, The Stuff You Really Need to Know by John Fuller. Many of you are familiar with his voice and his ministry work through Focus on the Family, their daily broadcast. But before we kind of transition entirely into this First Time Dad book, what's the Lord been teaching you lately?
Wow. You mean just generally?
Yeah.
Generally in life, what's He been teaching me lately? I think One of the probably biggest lessons that I've had to grab on to is to rest in Him, and I don't really get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it. But our pastor has been working through the Gospel of John, and rest, I'll associate that with what I'm about to share here. Throughout the book of John, the word believe comes up. It's just infused into the book. He uses the word pisteo, the Greek word pisteo, to represent belief 99 times, I think it is, in the Gospel of John, and that's about 10 times more than the others, the other writers of the Gospels. And I've been pondering, what does that mean? Because belief isn't saving belief in this case. I mean, in chapter 4, the nobleman comes to Jesus and said, "Please come heal my son." And Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." And the man believed, and he headed back home. And the next day, his servants met him and said, "Hey, your son is better." And when they said what time of day the day before his son had been healed, he realized it was the exact same time Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." And so he believed, and so did all of his household. The point here is the man believed, and then he believed the next day. And I used to think of belief as kind of a choice that happened once, and then it's a decided thing and we move on. But I'm starting to see that God is coming to me much more frequently than that, pretty much every day, saying, "Are you going to believe me today?" Not your circumstances, not your abilities, not what the world says. Are you going to believe me today for whatever it is I want to do? And resting in that great truth of the fact that I can believe in my God. He is totally reliable. He is entirely sovereign. There's something I'm trying to grab onto, and it's still a little elusive at times.
Sure.
It's a lesson I'm trying to really hold on to.
And do you have a favorite scripture verse or maybe a go-to passage that's one of those foundational life-changing verses that you think about or dwell on?
One of the ones I've just clung to is Psalm 145:8, which is a great reminder to me of just who the God is. You know, in there he says, "I'm slow to anger, I'm gracious, I'm compassionate," and I trust in his character. And it doesn't always show in this world. If I'm not careful, I'll miss it sometimes. But he offers grace points throughout the day. And that particular verse, along with so many other verses in the Psalms, really just sticks out to me repeatedly.
In case you just tuned in, I have John Fuller on the phone with me. We're going to begin talking about his book, First Time Dads. I've referenced it a few times as little teasers because I want our listeners to stay with me, because I've been so encouraged by this reading. But many of you are familiar with John's voice through his daily Focus on the Family broadcast with Jim Daly. He's been with Focus on the Family for a little over 20 or so years. So before we jump into the First Time Dad book, tell us how you got to Focus on the Family, and then maybe just one or two of your favorite memories or favorite programs that you got to participate in over the years, if you can.
Well, sure, yeah, and that's a tough question. I've been here since 1991. I was managing a couple of Christian radio stations east of Dallas, Texas, in Tyler, Texas, and we had been there for eight, nine years, and things were good. But the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to have some conversations with people here at Focus on the Family. And as they were moving to Colorado, it seemed like it might be good for me to move from Texas and join them. And that happened. I mean, I knocked on the door, it flung open, and we decided to come. Actually, we had the invitation to come on a Friday, and we decided to pray about it through the weekend. And so Sunday evening, we decided, okay, yes, we're going to say yes to this opportunity. And our second son was born just 8 hours after I accepted the job the next day. So I had to say, you know, can I have just a couple more than 2 weeks to relocate my entire family and adjust to having a second child now, please? So I started in September, and boy, the Lord's enabled me to meet some really wonderful people through the years. Many known, many have never been, you know, well-known. They've been guests on the program, but they didn't have books or some big dramatic story. I think of folks like Chuck Colson. He was the first interview I produced. I came to be a radio producer for Focus, and the first interview I had was Chuck Colson. That was a pretty remarkable gift from the Lord, because Chuck took time out of his busy schedule to stay in touch. Not closely, but over the years, we would drop notes back and forth. He'd greet me with a hug when he came by, and he was a spiritual giant of a man, and to be in his presence and to be able to learn from him and to get to know him, particularly a particular touch point for us was his grandson Max and my son Zane, both of whom have autism. Hmm. Those were precious gifts from God, and Chuck stands out amongst a sea of greats, but as one of the men who are really benefited from learning from when he was on the broadcast.
Do you have a favorite moment with Dr. Jim Dobson and certainly now with Jim Daly?
Yeah, I've got moments with Dr. Dobson, lots of them, but I can't share them with you, Mark, because they took place off the air, maybe when we were in the studio doing, you know, a bunch of odd job kind of program things that we had to get done. There were moments there where we would be able to kick back and just have a good conversation. And he was and is a tremendous man of God who has spoken into the lives of so many. And what a privilege it was to be in the studio with him for 8 years, working side by side on programs that had us in tears, that you know, grabbed your heart, that you know, made a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful to God for the opportunity I had to be around Dr. Dobson with such proximity and such frequency, and I have no doubt part of who I am today is because of him.
Yeah, I see you reference him in your acknowledgments, and as you mentioned, Chuck Colson, one of his comments on your book, I can't think of a better resource for new fathers than John Fuller's excellent new book, First Time Dads. This is exactly what is desperately needed today, and you just have a whole wonderful group of people that have recommended this, including Jim Daly, Dr. Dennis Rainey, our listeners will be very familiar with him, Dr. Kevin Lehman, Josh McDowell. Anyway, so, hey, we're running out of time, and I need to keep you on the phone line. Like I said, pull a James Dobson. We're going to keep the recording going, and let's get into the nuts and bolts of first-time dad. There's so many helpful lists and examples and illustrations that I think our listeners can really benefit. So if you can stay with me, we're going to continue this conversation, and tomorrow we're going to talk all about first-time dad. That's John Fuller's new book, The Stuff You Really Need to Know. I highly recommend it. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.